Thank you, Dr. Kreider. Thank you, musicians. Thank you all for singing so heartily this morning. We lift our voices in praise to the Lord. It's a joy to worship together on this day. We welcome you once again to the 2026 Spring Convocation on the Southwestern campus. As I said, convocation is a special day. It brings together our academic commitments and our desire as a community to worship and serve the Lord together. As I understand it, a convocation address is intended to be more than another chapel sermon. It's an opportunity to address an important aspect of our institutional life, to try to understand some pressing issue, perhaps in the denomination or the culture. And over the past 3 years, we've worked very hard to use convocation to help us understand the identity of Southwestern Seminary, to understand its history, to understand our mission, to understand our theological commitments, to understand our core values and how these all work together as students, staff, and faculty to help advance this shared work and continue the heritage and the wonderful work of those who have gone before us and to prepare the way for those who will come after us. It's a wonderful time to reflect upon the goodness of God as we gather together this morning. In a recent collection of David McCullough essays called History Matters, this well-known historian makes the case that an institution, an organization, a group, a nation, an entity, regardless of its size, cannot function well without an understanding of its identity. And he adds that this identity is greatly informed by the heritage and history of the group. Thus, he says, history matters. Our previous six addresses, as we've said, have attempted to help us understand this identity and heritage. And today, however, we want to try to build on those addresses by reflecting on our vision for theological education at Southwestern with application for our hearts, our heads, and our hands. Connecting our hearts to worship, our heads to Christian worldview formation, and our hands to the calling to work and serve about which we have sung in these last two hymns. We want to provide special application steps for all of us today to respond to these truths expressed in these previous addresses and then drawn together around these themes connected to hearts, heads, and hands. So I want to invite students, staff, faculty, guests, all of us who are here to join me in thinking about these important matters under the idea of worship, worldview, work, and service. First of all, worship. When we gather together in chapel on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we gather to sing, praise, pray, and to hear the Word of God proclaimed. It's a time for all of us, faculty, staff, and students, to join our hearts and minds together to worship the triune God. Worship, as Southwestern's longtime theology professor W.T. Connor wrote, is the first business of the church. The worship of God in Christ should be at the center of all else the church does. God should be worshiped for his own sake and not for the sake of what he can do for us. Worship, though primary in the life of Christ's followers, is often elusive and misunderstood, even among Christians. Worship is ascribing worth to God with our voices, our minds, our hearts. It's the act of bringing glory to God, which of course may and should be all aspects of life. But more specifically, worship refers to the act and activity of praising and glorifying God when believers gather together as we are doing here this morning. If we're truly concerned with ascribing to God the supreme worth that He alone is worthy to receive, we must be cautious about allowing our worship to be shaped by our own felt needs rather than by Scripture and a healthy appreciation for the Christian heritage. Believers must recognize that worship is our active response to the revelatory word and redemptive work of the triune God. Praise, prayer, preaching, teaching, the celebration of the ordinances, confession, giving are all Christ-centered, scripturally informed actions. Fitting and acceptable worship can only be offered by and through the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is important to remind ourselves that while Southwestern is not a church, it is a kingdom entity designed to serve the church, and thus worship and service of God are rightly and fittingly at the heart of who we are and what we do as a community. At Southwestern, we're hesitant to declare one form of worship to be inherently better than another, though we all likely have our preferences. But as we think about these matters, we should always seek to ground authentic worship in the teachings of Scripture. Perhaps taking Acts chapter 2 as a guide, Christians should expect some kind of variety in our worship. For we see in that passage that some in the early church emphasized formal celebration in the temple, while others seemed to prioritize informal gatherings in homes. Central to our worship must be the proclamation of the whole counsel of God. And we'll do that with a portion of God's word this spring as we work our way through the Gospel of Mark. The gospel message forms the center and the shape of worship. And with that recognition, worship services need to seek to touch lives while simultaneously exalting God and edifying people. Anything less fails to meet the New Testament standards of what it teaches and the practice we find of the early church. When genuine worship takes place, the entire body of Christ, or in our case, the entire campus, is enhanced and built up. Moreover, service and outreach are strengthened. The people of God who have worshiped Him are mutually strengthened and prepared to enter the world, to touch lives, to meet needs, to counsel hurts, to speak to injustices, and ultimately to bear witness to proclaim the saving message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Exalting God and serving others are hardly in conflict, especially for people who seek to understand and live out the Christian faith in a coherent manner. As a matter of fact, authentic service, serving the Lord with gladness, is built on genuine worship and is focused on service to others, which leads us to think how we can take steps in these important aspects of our shared calling on this campus. So let's think together about how to think connect worship with Christian worldview thinking. The true worship of God provides the perspective and framework to think rightly about understanding and service in the world. I was listening to the evening news right before Christmas as a reporter was talking about an increase in theft and shoplifting, which often happens during the Christmas season. The report addressed the issue solely from the standpoint of economic deprivation, exploring the subject from anthropological, sociological, and economic perspectives, which I don't doubt for a moment exist. But missing from the piece entirely was any sense of human responsibility. Theft was discussed without raising the issue of morality. Obviously, a different worldview was at work. An ancient proverb says, "If you want to know what water is, don't ask the fish." Water is the sum and substance of the world in which the fish is immersed. The fish may not reflect on its own environment till suddenly it's thrust onto dry land and struggles for its life. Then it realizes that water provides its very sustenance for being. Immersed in our environment, bombarded by the thought shapers in the media and those who cry out on social media, we often fail to take seriously the powerful ramifications of a secular worldview at work. Such a worldview affects our understanding of the deepest questions of the purpose and nature of human life. Apart from a life characterized by the worship of the Almighty God, we quickly become unhinged from the Creator's framework for our lives. one of the most fascinating and symbolic structures on college campuses found anywhere in this country is the Wexner Art Center on the campus of Ohio State University. It's an intriguing building that has no pattern. Staircases go nowhere. Pillars support nothing. The architect who designed the building wanted to reflect life, the chaos as he saw it. The building has a sense of incompleteness and often lacks functionality, signifying confusion and a rejection of an overarching narrative of life. Yet even this deconstructionist architect had to build the building with traditional building foundations. You cannot do to the foundation what you can do to hallways and staircases without the building beginning to crumble. You cannot do to the foundation what can be done to the infrastructure without serious implications. So we can get away with random thoughts that sound enticing until faced with the ultimate questions of life. When one begins to tamper with the foundations, there are serious effects. Our 21st century culture all around the world, especially in Europe and North America, lack a sense of coherence. We see it all around us when people fail to see the world through the lens of God's revelation. That's what we want as a priority on the Southwestern campus, to see the world through the lens of God and His Word to us. When we fail to see that lens, it leads to a loss of morality, a loss of accountability, a loss of charity, and ultimately a loss of eternal perspective. By losing eternity, we begin to redefine existence. By losing morality, we have reshaped conscience and accountability. By losing charity, we've lost our hearts and the meaning of relationships. So what does all this have to do with life on the Southwestern campus? Everything. It affects faculty, staff, and students. And we want all of us to begin to see that what we do on Tuesday and Thursday is very important. It's not merely an escape from the daily routine and responsibilities of academic life. Instead, we see our times of worship together as a reminder of our shared commitment to reveal truth to our scripturally grounded and confessionally guided core values. We want to avoid the trap of separating head knowledge from heart knowledge, of driving a wedge between faith and knowledge, between revealed truth and observed truth, between fact and value. Sadly, this separation, this distancing, is what characterizes so much of higher education and characterizes our entire contemporary context. Thus, at Southwestern, our calling is to reconnect Christian worship with a Christian worldview, connecting the dots to work and service. We want every classroom, every conference room, every office, every activity across the campus to be seen from the lens of the worship of God and the framework for seeing the world that flows out of our worship together. These priorities are the reasons we encourage your presence and participation in chapel on a regular basis. In doing so, we will grow in our shared recognition and understanding that by Him, that is Christ, all things hold together. Abraham Kuyper, a well-known Dutch theologian and leader of his country, has noted that God created the world and cares for His entire creation, and that by His saving grace, He brings regeneration and justification to His own. But by His common grace, He sustains the creation He has made, and He calls us to be participants in that common grace, to be agents of it. Because God cares about its expression in every single aspect of life. Some worldviews that we see being carried out are incoherent, merely a smorgasbord of ideas from natural, supernatural, pre-modern, modern, postmodern options. But an examined worldview is more than a private personal viewpoint. It's a comprehensive life system shaped by Scripture and influenced by key Christian doctrines, as well as the best of the Christian intellectual tradition, that seeks to answer the ultimate questions of life. Aware of the challenges of this age and the loss of plausibility structures, a Christian worldview encourages wholehearted devotion to distinctively Christian thinking, providing what Graham Cole, a brilliant Australian theologian, describes as a frame of reference that tells a coherent story, illuminating the actual world in which we live. Such a worldview shapes our view of education on this campus. It means that faculty and students should be better teachers and learners because our motivation for learning is different. And staff should be more effective in carrying out their work because our call to service is shaped by the truths that underline this Christian worldview. We want to learn more about God and His Word, His world, His work, His purposes, His activities. Our purpose for learning is distinct, shaped by these values. It is not education merely to get a job, as important as that is, but it's education shaped by the worship of God and informed by a Christian worldview that can help restore a loss of morality and accountability. It can help us be better people, better students, better employees. It gives us expectations and ideals for which we can aim because we're concerned not just about content and information, but we're concerned also about character and formation. Worship and worldview together not only shape the heart and the mind, but our very souls as well. Education shaped by the worship of God and a Christian worldview can better prepare us for vocation and service. This is not vocational education, don't hear it that way, but it helps us see that our various vocations all across this campus, whether in the classroom or in the office, whether serving students or caring for facilities, balancing the finances or connecting with constituents, whether engaging people or connecting technology, all of these things are calling from God. The goals of Christ-centered education are to enable men and women to be prepared for their God-called vocation so that they can serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and live out Christ's call to be salt and light in the world. Doing so can help students become servant leaders and responsible change agents for both the church and society. All of us will then learn to see not only our learning, but our work as well from God's perspective, viewing it in a way that brings glory to Him. Our work is more than a job. It's a calling, an act of God-honoring service. Work is not something to be avoided. It's how we carry out God's calling on our lives. And we've been invited by God to serve the world and to serve the world with gladness, and to serve the people in the world that God Himself created in His very own image. So we understand, however, that work, which is a gracious gift from God, has been affected by the entrance of sin into this world. We thus carry out God's call to work and serve in a world characterized by radical fallenness. Most faculty and staff spend many of our waking hours at work, and students spend many of their waking hours in the classroom preparing for the work that awaits them in a full-time capacity. Thus, we must seek meaningful work and prepare ourselves well, doing so as well as we possibly can. The Christian tradition has long affirmed that work is divinely ordained. Martin Luther attacked medieval monasticism by saying one not need be a monk or a nun to serve God. Thus the servant, the plowman, the maid, he claimed, all do their work for the glory of God. Luther's thoughts on work are not so much the glorification of human activity as they are the celebration of the continuing creativity of God. Luther's emphasis was not on jobs, but on calling. So what do these observations mean for us as staff, faculty, students, administrators? It means that we're called by God, not just in our jobs, but in everything we do, to glorify God in all things. Our vocation, then, is not so much work as it is an extension of our worship. We apply on Monday what we hear and say and do in church on Sunday, or in our case, what we do throughout the week is an extension of the 11 o'clock chapel hour on the Southwestern campus. We seek to glorify God together. That leads us to service together. As an educational entity of the kingdom of God, we want to see our work and our service through the lens of God. So what does this mean for students? It means students can glorify God by studying hard. Students, let me encourage you to understand that your first calling at this time in your life is the vocation of student. You're not merely preparing for service that will be yours so that you can get a job in a few years, but you're preparing for the next 40 years of service in God's kingdom. You've been given gifts and graces that come from God to study, to carry out God's call on your life. Study is not just for you. It's not just for the self. It's not just a means so that you can better find a way to support yourself. But it's a means to serve God in the decades ahead and to use this learning process now so that you're able to do that for years to come. So we urge students in all programs, study hard, for this is your current vocation. It's a means of worshiping and glorifying God. So all of us, administrators, faculty, staff, students, are called to carry out our service under the lordship of Christ for the glory of God. Our work, our vocation, is a blessing from the Lord. We recognize that Christ is Lord over all, and there's no partiality in his sight. So as we move to our conclusion, let me offer 10 quick applications or implications for us as we participate in this shared calling as a Southwestern community. Number one, you can see these on the screen. Work matters because it's a gift of God and an essential aspect of life. Secondly, work is to be pursued with Christ-centered excellence, with a commitment to quality that is carried out with humility. Our motivation for our work is excellence without arrogance, carried out for the glory of God. Number three, we recognize that all honest professions are honorable in God's sight. Adam was a gardener. Abraham, a rancher, Joseph, an administrator, Deborah, a judge, David, a shepherd, Lydia, a businesswoman, Peter, a fisherman, Paul, a tent maker. And reflecting on the Christmas season that we just completed, we note that Joseph was a carpenter and Mary, a homemaker. All these callings are good and honorable in God's sight. The combination of things done on this campus each day by staff, faculty, and administrators is broad and diverse. Please hear this. They all matter for the advancement of the Southwestern mission. And not only is this true, we have the privilege of carrying out work together in colleagueship in this grace-filled and Christ-centered community. Whatever our role or assignment might be in the overall picture of Southwestern community, we want to reflect a faithful presence that we carry out our work with the recognition that we've all been created in the image of God, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, enabled and energized by the Holy Spirit with gifts and abilities that have been graciously bestowed on us for the service to which we've been called. Number four, we gladly acknowledge that the gifts and abilities we have for our service come from God. Similarly, Number five, with grateful hearts, then we receive any promotions or expanded opportunities of service as gifts from God. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, what do we have that we did not receive from God? Number six, we are called to carry out our work unto the Lord, doing so to honor him, as we heard from the passage that Miss Mathis read for us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Number seven, we are responsible to plan and prepare well, to utilize and mobilize to the fullest the resources, the capacities, the intelligence, the drive, the motivation, that all that God has given us. And number eight, we are to carry out our work and service as it has been shaped and informed by the worship of God and by God's revelation to us in his word. Doing so with right motivation to honor the Lord in all things, bringing together hearts, heads, hands in a beautiful symphonic manner for the good of this institution. In doing so, with God's help, we will strengthen the Southwestern community. Not only will we celebrate the best of Southwestern's wonderful heritage, exemplified in these guests who are here with us this morning, not only will we do that gladly and joyfully, but we will rejoice in what God is doing now. As he brings about renewal to the Southwestern campus. We give thanks today for the dedication of faculty and staff who serve in this place of students the Lord has brought to this place to study at Southwestern and at Texas Baptist College. And we do so with gladness and gratitude for the current stability and health of this institution and hopeful anticipation of even better days ahead. Number nine, we give thanks to God for these things. We recognize that our service, our study, our teaching, our learning are all means toward preparing a generation of men and women to serve faithfully who will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And lastly, in conclusion, we recommit ourselves to the Lord, to this wonderful kingdom-focused educational community to which we've been called at this time. Let us today hear the words of the teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes 3,000 years ago as we recommit ourselves to the Lord, to his calling on our lives to be a part of the Southwestern campus, where he says these words, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And we would add with the Apostle Paul, do it all for the glory of God. May the Lord be pleased with what we do on this campus this day throughout the spring semester. May the Lord's blessings be yours. Amen.